We know that our brother Bob goes to bed early, so I won't keep you late. We went out for supper the other night, and we got him fed up. I had to bring him home so he could go to bed early. But anyway, he's doing all right, so we're thankful about that. We had a great time together, and we went over to Jane and Jane's place afterwards and had a little time of fellowship. And we came in when the fellows were working here yesterday, getting your PA system all set up, and talked to them for a few minutes. And folks, we're just thankful that the Lord has opened up the door for us to be here. I would like to give you an outline of a passage of Scripture that you know well, because I'm hoping and praying that you'll take it home with you and make it your own. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have of opening the pages of Holy Writ, realizing that this is your word, your instruction for us. And I pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you will teach me tonight, that you will teach each one that's bowed in your presence right now. And our Father, we pray that you'll draw us close to yourself, realizing our responsibility before you as to how we ought to behave and how we ought to walk. Challenge our hearts, I pray. Thank you for each one that's here. Father, we know that there are those here tonight who are carrying burdens that perhaps nobody knows about other than you and that individual. Father, I pray that you'll meet needs as we are in your presence tonight. You promised to be here. Lord, we look forward to moving in our midst and in our hearts today. Encourage everyone that's here, we pray. Draw us close to yourself, and we'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Verse number 16 of chapter 5 of Galatians. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we walk in the Spirit, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. May the Lord bless to our hearts the reading of His Word today. The fruit of the Spirit is one of those subjects that you probably have studied, and you could probably quote some of these verses to me and have been able to do it for years. But I'm beginning to learn the fact that sometimes we as God's children, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're one of God's children. As God's children, sometimes we would like to pick the fruit of the Spirit apart, and today maybe I'd like to be good. Or tomorrow I'll be gentle. You know, or maybe next week I'll be loving. I'll pick that one for next week, and I'll do that. But beloved, we can't do that. We can't really separate the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is not fruits. The fruit of the Spirit is all encompassing. And it's encompassing around one little word that really starts it all off. And it says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Right. And the fruit of the Spirit is love. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. It's all-encompassing to realize that if we're going to put the fruit of the Spirit to work in our lives, we need to keep them all together. Here's an outline that I'm hoping will help you to really see just exactly where our Heavenly Father wants us to go. The first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fruit of the Spirit are really my character expression to those that I come in contact with every day. Keep that in mind as you study them. For an example, we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love, so therefore here's that inward expression. The next one is joy, right? And it's joy, that's love exalted. If the joy of the Lord is your strength, then the love of God will flow. It will flow. One time when I was here before, I talked to you about joy from the book of Philippians. And I told you at that time that there were 4 robbers of your joy. And if you let any one of these robbers get into your life and get controlling, you're in trouble. Here's one of the robbers. You'll probably remember. Robber number 1 was people. They'll rob you of the joy the Lord wants. How many of you know somebody that when they come into your room, it's as if the lights go out? Or you just assume they wouldn't come at all? Or you don't want them to phone? And it's just when they seem to show up, it's just as if it just takes away all the joy that's happening within your life. And number 2, we find the first one was people. Number 2 was things. If you recall, we gave you a little illustration about things. Young people sometimes want to start off in life where us older folks are now. They want all the things perhaps that we have, and they're striving for them. And we know that in this day and age, in this country we're living in right now, and the one to the north of us are in real difficulties in striving for things. There was an old Quaker chap. He was living in a little subdivision, and the chap was moving in next door. This was the illustration I gave you before. I'm going to share it again. And there was a chap moving in next door, and they moved in his washer and his dryer and his freezer, and they moved in his television and his computers and all of the iPod material and everything that he needed and his bed. You know, and this poor old chap, he stood there and watched it all. Finally, he thought, maybe I should go over and introduce myself to this man. So he went over and he introduced the man. He said, sir, I'm so-and-so. He said, if perchance there's anything that you need, come and see me, and I'll tell you how to get along without it. Yeah. Things can rob us of the joy the Lord wants us to have. And sometimes we do. We strive for those things to the point where it just takes away the joy He wants us to have. And thirdly, is circumstances. You know how you go and shake hands with somebody and say, how are you today? I'm just fine under the circumstances. That happen? Sure it does. We find we get under the circumstance. We forget the fact that we're to cast all of our care upon Him, for He cares for us. Beloved, that's so true. We need to do that. We need to learn it if we haven't been doing it. And the circumstances will just be taken away. The last one, number 4, that will rob you of the joy is worry. How many never worry? Thank you for being honest with me. I worry too. I'm afraid I'm one of those old worry warts. Just ask Bev. Sometimes things don't go just the way I think they should, and I worry, and it robs me of the joy that the Lord wants me to have. Folks, we need to learn that. And this is joy. It's love exalted. Next one is peace. That's love and repose. Peace is love and repose. If you've ever been out west in Canada, you've probably gone to Lake Louise out in British Columbia, or you've seen pictures of this beautiful lake out there in the mountains. Mountains coming down on all 3 sides of that beautiful lake. And even though the wind may blow, it always seems calm and so peaceful in that beautiful spot out in British Columbia. And while you're standing there and you perhaps get a little bit of history of that lake, you find out that because of earthquakes and because of the earth shifting and moving over a period of time, there are great little spiny mountains up inside that lake underneath the water. And as the winds of adversity blow, those spiny mountains that are underneath the water seem to hold it still faithful. You know, it's experienced things within underneath that leg that perhaps it didn't appreciate. And we too in our lives, experiences happen in our lives that cause us to become upset. And we don't like it. And the Lord sometimes needs to chip the rough edges off and sometimes allow some sharp edges to be there to remind us that when the winds of adversity blow, He can keep a peace and a calmness there that you just can't understand. But that passes all understanding. The Bible tells us. Near us, 20 miles north or south of where Bev and I grew up, there's a lake called Rice Lake. And that's right where Joseph Scriven, who wrote What a Friend We Have in Jesus, was buried. If a wind blows on that lake, you won't want to be out there in a boat because it gets real rough. A lot of people have lost their lives on that lake just simply because they've stayed out there. It's very, very shallow. Hasn't had a lot of experience about the earthquakes and things underneath it or experiences in life that would change the shoreline, the base of the lake or the water itself. And when the winds of adversity blow, that lake just is treacherous. We need to realize that if there's going to be peace, that's love and repose. We need to think about that Lake Louise out in British Columbia. Long suffering, that's love enduring. That's how people see me, folks. This is my expression, character expression, to those that I come in contact with every day. Long suffering is love enduring. We sometimes sing a little song that says, what you are, speak so loud, that the world can't hear what you say. They're looking at your walk, not listening to your talk. They're judging from your actions every day. And isn't that true? I know there were times when I would perhaps do something when I was working as a police officer and somebody would point the finger and say, you really ought not to be doing that. You're a Christian, aren't you? You know, they would see the way I acted and how I behaved or what I said. But how that everything that I do and everything that you do, if you're one of God's children, ought to reflect the love of Christ. Yes, long-suffering is love enduring. And that's what people see when they look at us. Children, we're representatives of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How that should change our appearance. How that should make a difference when we go out and we're in contact with other people. And again, character expression towards mankind is gentleness. That's love in society. Love in society. When I go to work, when I go to do chores for somebody, if I go to help someone else, how does it appear? Am I grumbling? Am I cranky? Am I not Christ-like at all? Oh, how this ought to govern our lives. That we might realize that this is how people see us. And they say, oh yeah, you go over to Northgate, don't you? I know you're supposed to be acting a little different or talking a little different than where you are and the way you are. Yes, we find out that long-suffering is love and enduring. Gentleness is love in society, and goodness is love in action. Bev and I have the opportunity, as you know, of traveling in our little trailer out there. We've downsized it quite a bit this year to help us with expenses and so on. But at many of the chapels we visit, particularly in the south, farther south from here, there are a lot of people who will come to the door and they'll knock on the door and say, would you perchance have some money that we can have? Have you got some handouts that we could have in order to get us by? Well, we don't hand out money because we don't know where the money's going. But we were at Jacksonville. Just one illustration and we'll go on. I was at Jacksonville. And while we were there, a black man came to the door and he knocked at the door. He introduced himself. And he says, I've come wondering if perchance you had a little bit of food that we could have for our family. We've just moved to the area. And he gave me an address. And he said, I'm looking for work. But he said, I would like to wash your car, wash your trailer. I'll trim the bushes around the chapel. He said, I'll do whatever I can. He says, to help out. He said, if perchance you'd be able to help us a little bit too. Well, we didn't have anything. We had just pulled in from coming down from Ontario. So we went to Winn-Dixie. They had a big sale that night. And we just loaded the back end of our van with food stuffs and stuffs. bit of frozen meat and things that we thought perchance somebody could use. And we told them, we said, we don't have anything tonight, but if you come around tomorrow about 5 o'clock, we'll have something ready for you. He came on his bicycle at 5 o'clock. He was excited as could be. He said, guess what? He said, I just got a job. I said, thank the Lord for that. He said, I'm going to be washing cars. And he was so excited about the fact that he'd been able to get something to help his family. We gave him 3 great big grocery bags full of things, and he hung them on the handles of his bicycle. And away he goes off down the road, and we invited him back to the services for the next Lord's Day to the chapel. Goodness. That's love in action. Folks, that's not the only opportunity. Folks who perchance they have a fire in the house, or maybe there's some other reason that someone just needs a little word of encouragement. Or they need to have somebody come by just to see how you're making out. That's what goodness is, love in action. Those are the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit that let other people know that I belong to Jesus Christ. And it's exactly the same for you as a child of God. If you apply those to your life and allow the Spirit of God through you, you're going to find there's going to be folks who will come along and say, hey, what is it you've got that I don't have? I've got Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you about him. I want to tell you how much he loves you. I want you to be a part of his family. The last few really are the character expression of me to my Heavenly Father. There's where the difference, but it's still around that subject of love. Faith is the next one. That's love on the battlefield. Love on the battlefield. And it begins with the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because the devil doesn't want it. He doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't want you to be a Christ-like individual. And you need to realize that we need to put our faith and trust in one who can control what's happening within our lives. We often sing a song that says, how big is God? He's big enough to rule this mighty universe, yet small enough to live within my heart. Isn't that remarkable? Even though things may seem so topsy-turvy today, my Heavenly Father is still sitting on the throne. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows what you need. He knows what I need. And I need to trust him. He loves me with an everlasting love. And I need to love him. And what a difference that makes as the fruit of the Spirit become an intimate part and a woven part within our lives, that we might be more like Christ. Meekness is love in school. That's being moldable. You know, potter, and we're to be the clay as he makes us and molds us. There was a sculptor one time who was working on a big piece of marble on a table, and he was chipping away. And all the time he was chipping away on that big piece of marble, there was a young boy sitting on a stool right there watching what was going on. And this great sculptor, he'd chip and he'd chip and he'd chip. And the pieces would fly all over the table and onto the floor. The little boy would sit there and he watched for a while and finally got a little tired. The boy got off the stool and went outside for a few minutes. He went outside, and when he was outside, he played around for a little while, and the sculptor continued to work on this big old, and the little boy finally come back into the room. His eyes got as big as saucers. For there, sitting in front of the sculptor, was one of the most beautiful marble lions you've ever seen. And the little guy looked at the lion sitting on the table, and he turned to the sculptor and he says, how did you know he was in there? That's what God's doing with me, folks. He's chipping and he's working and he's molding with me in such a way that I'm like Jesus Christ. He knows what's inside. He knows how rebellious I can be sometimes. He knows how hard it is to make and form me. But I need to get to the point where I'm willing to allow him to work in and through me in such a way. Self-control. That's love and training. That's love and training. I had the privilege of teaching for 2 years at the Ontario Police College, the college where all the recruits used to come in and get their basic training. And that's what temperance is. It's self-control. Love in training. And these young fellows and girls used to come out on parade, and we would stand out there in our shiny buttons and uniforms, and shiny shoes, and then we'd do an inspection. We'd line them up in parade and do an inspection. How many were in the military at some time or another? You know what that's like, huh? Yeah. And if we happen to find a little bit of dirt on the rim of their boots, back to the barracks they had to go in order to fix their boots and get them. Sometimes their whole platoon went with them. If we found one, they'd send them back. But in the meantime, somebody had checked their room, and if their bed wasn't made just exactly right and really tight that you could bounce a coin on it. And the comforter that went over it had to be so many inches from the bottom, so many inches wide, and so many inches from the top. I see these heads going like this. Those folks who know it. And then they'd find that when they got back to their room to polish their boots and get back out there, their bed had been torn apart, if it wasn't right. Oh, they used to get so discouraged with us. Was it because we didn't love them? We were angry with them? Not a bit. We wanted them to learn what it really meant to have temperance, self-control. We wanted to prepare them for when they went out into the real world, that there were some controls there and they were able to handle situations that sometimes were very, very difficult. And we find that in the fruit of the Spirit, that temperance, that self-control, falls right into line. When we talked about these fleshly things, our criminal code and your criminal code, there's control for many of those things that are happening in this world in which we live. And we're having some pretty drastic things right around here, shootings and the things that have been going on just recently. The Bible talks about that. But the code and the laws of today are there to look after those things. But there's no law that I know of for love. No law for love. And folks, that's the kind of people we ought to be. Yes, when we take a look at the fruit of the Spirit, joy is love exalted. Peace, love and repose. Long-suffering is love enduring. Gentleness is love in society. Goodness is love in action. Faith is love on the battlefield, and God sees that. Meekness is love in school, being moldable, and then self-control or temperance. That's love in training. Folks, if we will put all of the fruit of the Spirit together and apply them to our lives and allow the Spirit of God to work in and lighthouse to those around here in this neighborhood. My Heavenly Father will bless you for aligning yourself with what the Word teaches. Not what I'm teaching, but with what the Word teaches. It'll make such a difference in your life. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. It will be your strength day by day. I pray that that might be a little exercise that you will take home. Give you wisdom to be that kind of a person.